And welcome back. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. We're taking a look at some of the big stories happening in and around Baltimore. Last week, CSX Transportation shocked the Hogan administration and local officials by withdrawing its support for an expansion of the Howard Street train tunnel. So what does that decision mean for the city and for the port of Baltimore? And what does it mean for the current tunnel, which was built in the 1890s? 16 years ago, it was the site of a large chemical fire after a 60-train car pileup, which did severe damage to underground infrastructure. Colin Campbell is a reporter for the Baltimore Sun. He wrote about this last week. David Warnock is the co-founder of Camden Partners, a venture capital firm, and a former candidate for mayor in the Democratic primary last year. And they join me now in Studio A. It's good to see you both. Thanks for coming
in. Thank you, Tom.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So, Colin, give us the you know, thumbnail sketch of what happened. CSX was part of a consortium, some federal money, some state money, some company money, and it all looked like it was happening and it was on schedule and it was going to take place, and then all of a sudden it wasn't.
Well, so yes, there had been an agreement for at least a little while between the state and CSX to pitch in part of the money. They were going to pitch in $270 million of the $425 million cost of the project, and then they were going to ask for, they requested last year and were turned down for the remaining money from the federal government, $155 million that they wanted, but they were going to go again and ask for that federal money to get this done. They've long considered it bipartisan support for this project in state government and in for the city and from the delegation congressionally. Talking about how this is really important for the Port of Baltimore and how they really needed it to expand the tunnel so that it would be tall enough to double stack. They call it it's stacking two shipping containers on top of one another so that they can basically double the amount of shipping containers that can move through that tunnel along the railroad and through the Port of Baltimore, which has been a huge, huge economic boom for them.
So right now they can only single stack them.
Correct.
So there is just a whole lot less freight that can get down to the port, right?
Right.
And this was going to make it, you know, a double capacity. So first of all, the $155 million from the feds, we got turned down last year. Was there any notion that we were somehow going to fare better in that regard this time around? What would make us think that?
I had asked state officials that question and said, hey, you know, have we gotten any sort of nod or wink from the feds that this money was going to come this year? I mean, it sounded like they were confident. They always approach these things, you know, with confidence that these are priorities for Maryland and we were going to go for them one way or the other. And even actually after CSX pulled out of this agreement saying that they couldn't justify paying their share of that money, state officials, Governor Hogan actually said, we're going to go back to the drawing board. It's a worthwhile project and we'll be pursuing it from every direction. So they haven't said exactly how they're going to do it. There's not really a mechanism that I understand that they can force CSX to fix up its own tunnel. But they are looking at other ways to fund it, maybe, you know, come up to some sort of other agreement with the federal government.
So Dave Warnock, we hear a lot about private-public partnerships. This seems to be one of those things where the state and the feds will throw in some bucks and the company will throw in some bucks and everybody will benefit. The port will benefit because they've got more stuff to handle, and the company will benefit because they'll be able to, you know, do more business. You know, from your vantage point as a person who looks at economic development, a person who's, you know, been involved in the city for a long time, how does this strike you, this decision and how this came down?
Well, I think Colin makes a really good point, which is that CSX owns the tunnel. So this is not a, I think that the capability of the Hogan administration to do something outside of CSX is probably pretty limited. But I do, you know, and I've long talked about the fact that Baltimore needs an economic plan. And like a lot of other cities, you know, we're in competition with a lot of other cities for businesses and everything from Amazon to every other company that we're trying to recruit. And I think that the Howard Street Tunnel is a critical component of that. I do think that there are a number of other issues. They did get shot down last year on the federal grant. There's another federal grant that has to do with Port Covington and the access, egress on and off 95. And clearly everybody's all hyped up about the us being one of 200 people trying to get, you know, municipalities trying to get Amazon to move. So I'm sure that there's some consideration about you're probably not going to get two federal grants at one point in time. My instinct is...
So in other words, CSX would look at that and say, yeah, what are our chances here? They're not so great, so we're just going to...
That would be my instinct. That would be my instinct. And I don't think that... this is over. I mean, there are a number of things that I don't think that we should overlook going on at CSX. They have a new activist CEO. That CEO has some personal health issues. They've got some serious service problems all across their network. They're putting together a new operating plan from everything that I've read. So I think that there's some internal things going on. By the way, they fired, I think, three of the top four people in the company in the last 4 or 5 months. There's a lot going on at CSX that would probably cause them to take a pause if they didn't think there was a high probability that their second submission to the federal government was going to be successful. I personally think that that tunnel is really important to CSX and that they will revisit the issue. I sure hope so.
They are based, of course, in Florida. We asked for a statement. We asked to speak to somebody here on the air about it. They declined that opportunity, but they did issue a statement, and I'll read it in full. It said, given the operating changes that CSX's new leadership team has made over the last several months, and upon an updated evaluation, we determined that the Howard Street Tunnel Project proposal no longer justifies the level of investment required from CSX and our public partners at this time. Intermodal is an important part of CSX's business, and we are committed to supporting the freight rail needs of our customers and the Port of Baltimore through frequent, reliable, on-dock service. This business decision is in no way a reflection on the leadership of Governor Hogan, who has supported this initiative to the greatest degree possible on behalf of the businesses and citizens of Maryland. CSX appreciates the partnership we've developed with the state, and we look forward to continuing the dialogue with them about our plans moving forward. So that does seem, Dave Warnock, to keep the door open, at least for a future revisitation.
I think the door is open. I think that CSX has a lot of issues that they've got to deal with that are all coming at them at the same time. But I also think that we as a city and we as a state can't let up. This is a true big job creator. We do have the greatest port on the East Coast, and unless we invest in it, as Colin said, we can't. If you can't get double stack trailers from the East Baltimore to West Baltimore, you are at a significant limitation. Those trailers have to go north and around. It would be an enormous job creator, both in the expansion of the tunnel as well as the expansion of the port. So I think that I would encourage the mayor to keep the heat on and Hogan not to let up as well.
Of course, if they decide, Colin Campbell, not to do this ultimately, I mean, they may just find another port, right? They may just go all out of Baltimore completely. Is that a danger here?
I mean, you can't. It's not really clear what CSX is thinking. The statement that you just read is the same one that they provided to us. So beyond that, we don't really know what their calculations are. Aside from basically them just saying we can't justify at this time, putting in our piece of the
you reported money. That they attributed their decision to something they call precision scheduled railroading. It's their new operating plan, which involves reviewing the, quote, use and development of existing and planned infrastructure projects. So what is precision scheduled railroading? Do they think that they can increase the amount of stuff coming through the tunnel with just simply, you know,
without double stacking? If they can, I'm sure Hogan officials or Hogan administration officials and the city would love to find out how they plan to do that. It's not really clear what alternative to expanding the tunnel. And as I said, officials are plan to, as Dave just said, plan to, you know, keep the pressure on and try to get this done some way or another, because they see it as, even the folks down the port, I spoke to the local president of the International Longshoremen's Association, the folks who work the docks, and they see this as one of the major things that for them will determine the future of the port and how quickly it's able to continue to grow. The big thing in the background is that the Panama Canal was expanded last year, and they are now able to get these much larger ships, the container ships that are carrying those made in Asia products we see everywhere, to East Coast ports. They previously couldn't transit the Panama Canal and either had to go all the way around or take them across the country, you know, by train or plane or automobile. So now that you have these giant ships that can come and call in Baltimore, accommodating that growth has been the thing. So the port has, they've struck a public-private partnership with Ports America Chesapeake to have these major cranes that can work these larger ships. The longshoremen are growing their union to accommodate that. They've bought more land down by the port to accommodate more storage for these containers. So the port is making all the moves they can. And prior administrations have done, you know, have tried to prepare them for what they've long known would be an increase in the amount of containers coming through the port. This tunnel has been the bottleneck. It's been the problem. And they really don't see any other way around addressing it, you know, accommodating that growth, except for expanding this tunnel.
Yeah, so Dave Warnock, I mean, as a former president used to say, they're fired up and ready to go down there at the port, but this has been stopped because of this decision. You wrote a very interesting op-ed 6 weeks or so ago in The Sun that got a lot of attention, and you outlined a five-point, what you called a Pew plan for Baltimore, things that you thought the mayor should be dealing with. One was to expand career training. The other was to convince some of the big anchor institutions to have their suppliers located here in Baltimore. I think that's a very interesting idea. You talked about building a modified red line and creating a loan guarantee fund for minority and early stage businesses. And the fifth thing was this Howard Street Tunnel. And you alluded to a lack of political will, that there were some folks in the political structure that were causing this thing to log jam. I mean, is this a matter of people just doing something differently now?
I think that we as a city need to have an economic development plan. And we need to seize the initiative of the things that are the most transformative. And the things that I outlined in that five-point plan, I thought were transformative initiatives that were within the grasp of our city. I think that the Howard Street Tunnel is something that we can't let up on, because at the end of the day, just like our great hospitals are a true resource to the city, and when you create an economic development plan, you have to capitalize on the resources that are already in place. Our hospitals are a great resource. We need to get more of their suppliers to Baltimore. Our port has historically, since the founding of this city back in the 1600s, 1700s, has been the defining characteristic. We wouldn't have had the first railroads if we didn't have a deep water port over in Fells Point. So we've got to capitalize on what the inherent strengths of our city are. And I feel like the Howard Street Tunnel is right there in our grasp. I do think that the resolution of this Amazon situation, which strikes me as a Hail Mary approach to an economic development plan, is going to be something that's going to have to come and go. Hopefully they'll come to Baltimore. God willing, that'd be fantastic. We've got to get that behind us. We've got to get the federal grants associated with that behind us. And then I'm very hopeful that the mayor and the governor and the people from CSX will sit down and get serious about something that is truly transformative.
And Colin, what about safety? I mean, 16 years ago, there was a big wreck. There was a big chemical fire. It messed up all sorts of stuff, the underground infrastructure of the city. Is it considered safe? I mean, it's maybe not bringing in as much freight as some would like, but is it at least safe now?
I mean, I would put that question to CSX to answer. I think certainly there are folks who hope that, along with adding the capacity to carry more containers through the tunnel, that it would, you know, you renovate something, you expand it, it's going to be a better design than they had back in the, you know, just post the Civil War. I would say that just kind of goes without saying. If you upgrade that tunnel and if you expand it, you would expect it to have 21st century safety mechanisms.
But in your reporting, there haven't been anybody who's suggesting that it's currently unsafe.
I mean, no one that has come out like straight off the bat and said that. Obviously, they hope to see additional safety enhancements. You know, I defer to CSX to say whether it's currently safe. I can't speak to that, but definitely there are folks who have said, you know, to us that it is certainly an issue. Anything that's that old, a bridge, a tunnel, anything along those lines, certainly makes you wonder, you know, how long can you just ride out this old infrastructure? And the city has seen its streets collapsing and other things. So, I don't want to come out and say certainly that it's unsafe, but I definitely think that it's a consideration that isn't to be lost as we're having this conversation.
Yeah, and there's another train tunnel that Amtrak is talking about building. This is a different one. The CSX tunnel is a whole different thing.
New tunnel.
Yeah, a brand new one, and that's a $4.5 billion proposal. That's a whole other afternoon. But I appreciate both of you guys coming in and clarifying a lot of this stuff for us. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Colin Campbell is a reporter for the Baltimore Sun. David Warnock is the co-founder of Camden Partners. That's a venture capital firm here in Baltimore and a former candidate for mayor in the Democratic primary last year. Coming up, we will continue our look at some recent important local stories with Kamau High of the Afro-American newspaper. Before we take a break, on Mondays here on Midday, it's our practice to read the names of the people who lost their lives to violence in the previous week. We stand in witness to their untimely deaths, and we remember their families and friends in their hour of grief. We get their names from Ellen Worthing. She has compiled a list of Baltimore homicide victims going back 16 years now. We also consult the Baltimore Sun's list of homicides, which they've been keeping since 2007. This past weekend, organizers of the Baltimore Ceasefire held a series of events for the second time this year. So far in 2017, 301 people in Baltimore City have lost their lives to violence. Last week, police identified two men who were shooting victims last month. They are Reginald Jefferson, age 29, and Julio Valdez, age 44. In addition, 9 people were homicide victims in Baltimore just last week. They include an unidentified woman and 3 unidentified men, as well as Melvin Ford, age 35, Philip Johnson, age 44, Dante Parker, age 26, Janie McCray, age 57, and Anthony Cheeks. He was 17 years old. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.